once I started playing around with show control, that's where I really fell in love. Because even though I was a button pusher, per se, it felt like you could control the crowd experience. Because when you play certain kinds of graphics, you know, stomp your feet, wave your hands, wave your towel, and the crowd listens to you, having 90,000 people do what you tell them to do.
That's pretty cool.
There's something pretty cool about that.
Hello, and welcome to the Daktronics Experience Podcast. I'm Justin Oxner, here with Matt Anderson. Today, we're joined by Ashley Cummings, Control System Specialist at Daktronics. She's going to share her experiences from her position, what it's like to get an NFL team up and running with new displays, and the upcoming NFL user group, and more. And we're here today with Ashley. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
I'm doing pretty good. Matt, how you doing over there?
I'm having a really good day today, Justin.
That's refreshing to hear. Matt's having a really good day.
Yep.
But Ashley, we have you here to talk about your role as a control system specialist for Daktronics and about the upcoming NFL user group. Can you tell us, start with your background about your position? Matt loves origin stories. Yep. So kind of how did you get to where you are today and what do you do?
So like you guys said, I'm a control system specialist, and I've been with Daktronics now for about a little over seven years. And I came to Daktronics from college football, actually. I went to the University of Georgia for college, and then after graduation, I joined what is called Dog Vision at UGA. So it's the production team for all of live events, so all of basketball, football, softball, soccer, baseball, etc. And I kind of worked my way from the ground up there, started as a camera operator, eventually got into the control room, learned all the positions along the front desk. And then eventually I made my way to the show control computer where I started learning the Daktronics side of things. I did that for, I want to say, about a year and a half, maybe a little more. And then the event producer for Georgia, his name is Mike Dusnap, and he's actually with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He recommended me for a training position at Daktronics. So I didn't really know what Daktronics was because at UGA I was a button pusher. So I got on the website, started reading about the company, read about the position because they had an opening, and I was like, this sounds really interesting and in my wheelhouse. So I gave it a shot, applied, went through the interview process, and I guess things went well because they hired me.
Here you are.
Yeah, right. So, about 7 years ago, got into it by way of college football. And then we've gone through a little bit of a name change. We used to just be called customer trainers, and now we're control system specialists because along with training on the Daktronics software and hardware, we actually have become a little bit more of an integrator now because the expectation is that we work within the control room to get third-party equipment talking to the Daktronics equipment. So that way it's a cohesive project for the entire control room.
I'm kind of going to go back a little bit to, you know, when you started working for, you know, Dog Vision and Mike at the University of Georgia. And thinking back to, you know, there was a point maybe where all of a sudden you thought, hey, this could be a career, right? Like, and you mentioned you kind of had a lot of different positions because in a control room, there can be so many different roles, right? Like you said, there's a button pusher. You have everything from that to instant replay operator to everything else. How do you feel like maybe that kind of student experience kind of helped set you up for the job you're in now?
I guess having done all of the positions in the control room, I would say that my front end video knowledge is greater than maybe you would expect it to be of a trainer of just the Daktronics side of things. Like I understand how the camera operators work and what they need to do to get the correct shot. How replay operating systems work, different kinds of replay operating systems, how TVs like to call the show, how graphics operators like to bring in their graphics and take them out, things like that. But at the same time that I was working for Dog Vision, I was also working for Fox, the local affiliate that was not in my hometown, but close to it, only about a 30-minute drive. Because I had originally thought upon graduation that I wanted to work in journalism and news, live broadcast. Dog Vision was kind of just something I did on the side for fun, but slowly I wanted to work more and more games because originally I just started working football games. And then I probably within 6 months, I was begging Mike, I want to work basketball. I want to work softball. I want to do all of the sports. I want to do any position you have available. So I kind of, through the course of working at Dog Vision, fell in love with live event production and sports in general, because I've always been a sports fan. And it kind of lured me away from from journalism, I guess you could say, and into the sports production world. And then once I started playing around with show control, that's where I really fell in love, because even though I was a button pusher per se, it felt like you could, you know, you can control the crowd experience, because when you play certain kinds of graphics, you know, stomp your feet, wave your hands, wave your towel, do whatever, and the crowd listens to you, having 90,000 people do what you tell them to do.
That's pretty cool.
There's something pretty cool about that.
Wow. Yeah. And then you went from college football, controlling the fan experience, into working with some pro teams as well. And with the NFL user group coming up, could you tell us about some of the NFL teams that you've worked with in the past and possibly what you're going to work with in the future?
I'm not sure about the future yet, but teams I've worked with in the past include the Oakland Raiders when they were still at Oco Coliseum. They were actually the very first NFL team I ever worked with. On that project, I was actually a shadow trainer. So I wasn't in charge of the project. I was kind of learning how do you train on an NFL system. So I was kind of sitting in the background watching another trainer go through everything, go through the process. Because when it comes to the world of NFL, slightly different from college football, where really the main thing you care about is the game on the field and maybe out-of-town scores for the top 25 teams and conference scores. NFL also brings in fantasy stats, next-gen stats, basically any stat that you can think of for a football game, they want it on their video boards in some capacity at an NFL stadium. So it was just learning the process of how we integrate with all these different stats platforms and then how you actually put it on a video board and make it look visually appealing to the fans in the seats. So that was a really big learning curve for me, because before that, I had only ever worked with small colleges and some minor league teams. So the Raiders were not only my first introduction to the NFL, but my first introduction to working with a professional team, and just the scale of the production was higher than anything I had ever seen before. Because I was used to, you know, maybe four or six camera operators at a game, and this had anywhere from 10 to 15, plus they brought in truck feed. Mm-hmm. So you had camera angles galore. You had so much more content that you had to pull in and get up on the video board. So that was just a crash course that I don't know if I was ready for, but I thoroughly enjoyed.
Which is crazy, right? Because, I mean, even when you think at Georgia, the football games there, I've been to a couple, are huge productions, and they get into that. And for you to still say that even after that is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there are college productions that rival the NFL world, but the NFL just truly has, I feel, more resources. Mm-hmm. So they just have the ability to bring in more. Plus there's more available to them, because in the college world, like I said, it's really just what's going on the field and maybe what's going on around the conference.
Yeah.
Whereas the NFL is trying to push the envelope. You know, everybody saw that viral video of DK Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker mm-hmm. in the Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals game, right? And one of the coolest aspects to come out of that was how fast he was running compared to Buda Baker. You know, stats information like that isn't something that we can yet generate in the college game. So just integrating, I guess, that kind of information into the show is just that next step.
Nice. So that was your first NFL experience, you said, right? With the Raiders?
Right. That was my first experience. And I was, again, the shadow trainer. So I was just learning. So I didn't do very much touching of any of the computers, just kind of trying to soak it all in. The next team I worked with was the Cincinnati Bengals. And their production is called Jungle Vision. And that was not only my first NFL team, that was big. My first, what we call at Daktronics, a super site, or I guess a super user, where everything in the entire facility is a DAC product. Mm-hmm. So that was a big challenge because they had multiple displays, multiple signs. So the setup was pretty intense and they had a very specific vision for what they wanted to accomplish on their video boards. And that was another thing I wasn't quite used to because a lot of times you would go to site and the customer kind of wants to collaborate with you. Do you think this is a good idea? Should we go in this direction with, you know, this wings look versus a U-bar look versus this kind of content? Whereas the Bengals knew exactly what they wanted, how they wanted to do it, and it was just my job to make it happen, which I actually really liked as well. And, you know, tell me what you want and I can make it happen,
right?
Versus the kind of trial and error approach. Both can have a good outcome, but, you know, one of them, I guess you could say, is more preferable.
Right. I was going to ask what kind of training you specifically did. And you talked about a few of the different looks on the display. So you're actually helping them section out their board to say, I want stats here. I want live video here. I want running clock here and certain things like that.
Correct. Yeah. So pretty much on those first couple of days of training, they have all the specs and all the pixel dimensions for their video boards. And they already had an idea, you know, their video board is, let's just say, 1,000 pixels tall by 2,500 wide. They already knew that they wanted the leftmost 300 pixels to be what they would call a sidebar. And they wanted to split it vertically in half. And then those two halves were going to be their like sponsor zones. And then the next 1,000 pixels in the center of the board, they knew they wanted that to be live video. And then the side panel sitting on the right, they knew they wanted that to be all statistical information, you know, clock, score, game information, down and distance. And then they also wanted things like, what's our quarterback stats for the day? Our top two or three rushers, our top two or three receivers, who's our best tackler on the team today? They wanted that information to be rotating on the side. And that was just on the main video board. They also have a full ribbon that wraps around the field. And they knew exactly where they wanted sponsorship information to go and statistical information to go around that ribbon. So those first couple of days were training them on how do you build these looks that you know you want. Mm-hmm. So that way in the future, if you want to change your show, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, just to give everybody a different feel in the stadium, you know how to go in and rearrange those zones without needing to call into Daktronics and have someone walk you through it. And then you also know how to build out those stats frames so that if you want to change the stat information that's being shown to the fans, you can.
Awesome. So you're talking about your kind of that, the crash course with the Oakland Raiders. You did a lot of this work with the Cincinnati Bengals. So I'm, you know, kind of feeling like you're getting some momentum going. You're learning a lot more after this. So what was kind of the next NFL project that you were able to take the things you learned from those two projects to?
The next project was going to be Hard Rock Stadium. And that was a really unique project for me in that not only, again, was it another super site for Daktronics, but it was a venue that houses two teams. So not only do the Miami Dolphins play at Hard Rock Stadium, but the Miami Hurricanes also play there. So going into that project, I knew that it was twofold. There were two completely separate shows that needed to be built. You needed to build the looks package and everything that the Dolphins want. And then we also had to do that for the Hurricanes. And that project was really interesting because the Dolphins, again, like the Bengals, they knew what they wanted. They knew like where they wanted content to go, where they wanted stats to go. They knew exactly what they wanted to show to the fans. Whereas the Hurricanes were like, you know, whatever you think is best, you build it and we'll go with it. And that was an interesting concept. So training was interesting in that I taught the Dolphins crew how to do everything. And that same Dolphins crew runs the Hurricanes games.
Okay.
But they were not in charge of like the look of the design for anything for the Hurricanes games. Mm. So the producer just kind of would email or get on a phone call with me and tell me what he liked and wanted for the Hurricanes. And then I would put that into practice, put it up on the video boards, take pictures, send it back, and he would either approve or disapprove. So it was really interesting in that I had one half of the show designed for me and I could train on it and show them how to build it. And then the other half, it was kind of do it for us.
I was going to ask how that goes because it's one thing when you're sharing a stadium, right? But even mm-hmm. with your past experience, you've worked in a college one before at UGA. So even if right. you think of yourself of like you were a student there helping run the equipment, whatever mm-hmm. it was. And how that mm-hmm. was so much different than an NFL game. And now all of a sudden you have this facility where you could have both of those worlds meet and how that was like.
Yeah, that was really interesting. The Dolphins were incredibly, enthusiastic about getting as much information built the way they wanted and using all the stats that were available to them. And then the Canes were like, we really just want to make sure our sponsorship gets their advertisement time on the video board and we show live video. And then whatever else you think would be good to put on the board, go for it. And it was just like, okay. I mean, and that was fine as well, though, because coming from both the college world and seeing what a couple of NFL teams had done previously, I just can kind of combine the best of both worlds. Mm-hmm. Like nice. I knew what was important to the college base, but I also knew what was interesting to the NFL base, because I just didn't know, since Hard Rock Stadium is a multi-tenant site, is every person that's at the game, you know, at the Dolphins game, are they also a college fan, and yeah. vice versa at the Canes game, are some of them Dolphins fans? So I, you know, wanted to put content in the same place so that if you were a Dolphins fan and you came in, it's like you expected stats to be in the four corners and live video to be, you know, in this X and Y position, and you expected sponsorship here. So even though the shows were completely different, the design was the same in as where your eye looked for what information.
It seems like that's kind of the perfect scenario, right? Because it's, you got to use a lot of your experience to help out with the college game, but then also I got to, mm-hmm. I always think like, what's the opposite, right? What if the college team and the NFL team had completely different opinions and how things should look, and you feel like you're getting pulled in different directions, and that was not the case here. So that's gotta be positive at least.
Yeah, no, that was really nice. I actually really liked the Canes kind of giving me a free for all, because that's not my job, right? My mm-hmm. job is to train the customer how to build their own show and then work with them to build it and help them when they need it. But for the most part, I train them. I show you, you know, this is how you do X, Y, and Z, and then just sit back and let them do it. So it's not often that I actually get to sit at a computer and build out a zone. And then once I've built that zone, add in the stats and add in the graphics. So, I mean, that was fun for me as a person who likes to build things.
So, yeah, that sounds like an exciting opportunity that they gave you to have kind of free reign and kind of build something for them and combine both worlds. Did you have any other bigger NFL customers that you worked with after that? Did you move on to another project?
Yep. After that was the Patriots, the New England Patriots at Gillette Stadium. I didn't actually do any of the, I guess you would call it the main video boards that are in venue. They installed the word Gillette above their main video board, but they, instead of it being just a backlit sign, they installed what's called our puck displays. So it's what looks like little hockey pucks with clusters of LEDs on them, so that you can do different shapes outside of your standard squares and rectangles. So they had spelled out the word Gillette, and it was using a different player than the Patriots were used to. So that was just a one-day training where I came in and I showed the Patriots staff, you know, this is how you design content for a puck display, and this is how you push content to that display.
Right.
So that was kind of a quick and easy one. And then I worked a preseason game with them just to make sure that puck display did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah. And those freeform displays are interesting because you can do all different sorts of shapes and sizes, especially with the pucks, like you say, and we have another product that is the sticks. So you, mm-hmm. between the two of them, you can come up with some crazy shapes in those channel letters, so to speak, of spelling out Gillette at the stadium. There is a pretty interesting installation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty cool. And they take advantage of it where they have like, what did they do? When the Patriots score, like it kind of looks like an explosion or something happens on the video board, but it ends up on the Gillette at the top. And then like when there are fireworks and things, the fireworks start on the video board, but then explode on the letters. Uh-huh. So just kind of incorporating your letters into your video board show. So for the most part of the game, they're just blue. But when something special happens, they incorporate them. So it was kind of, and that was also my first experience with our puck products. So it was fun to play around with those just from a personal side.
That's probably why they brought you in, right? They have the ideas, but it's so different mm-hmm. than a normal display to say, yeah, I want live video and stats on that. You're not going to do that on that type of puck display.
Right.
You got to think of yep. creative different ways to use it, like you're explaining.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. Because like you said, you can't do live video and you can't do stats on it. Although, I mean, you probably could. I just don't think it would
try
look
it.
Good.
Yeah.
So that's really what it was. It was a collaborative effort to figure out, hey, this is what we've got. What's going to, you know, drive fans to look up at this video board besides just putting the color blue on here? So we tried a couple of different things because, you know, they thought creating content was going to be difficult, but really you just create content in a rectangular format, and we lay it over the pucks, and it just captures what fits in the letters. So creating content wasn't extremely complicated for them. So we just started coming up with ideas and putting it up on the video board and kind of going from there and seeing what it looked like. So that was kind of fun because the training aspect took, you know, a couple of hours. So the rest of it was just kind of playtime between me and the staff to figure out what would work best there.
Right, right. You just have to have an understanding of what's not going to show up versus what will when creating the content for different shapes mm-hmm. and sizes like that. But you yep. said that was a quick stop. That was a short, quick training, not too long. Where did you head to next?
After the Patriots, I think I did both the Chargers and the Rams, and I did that in a single trip. So that was over a 2-week period in the same year. And it happened when the Chargers took over, or I guess rented StubHub Center, where the LA Galaxy play. And then the Rams, when they took over LA Coliseum, where the USC Trojans play. So they were temporary residents of those two venues that were not initially designed for NFL teams. So for the Chargers, especially since they were moving into StubHub Center, that was an MLS stadium, not even a college football stadium.
Right.
So the big challenge for not only me, but for Daktronics was getting the NFL scoring and timing systems working and set up in that venue. And then that staff actually had almost no experience with football.
the different football?
Yeah, the different football. American football was a foreign concept to them. For a lack of a better way to put it, like they had seen obviously games before, but they didn't understand operationally how those games ran. Mm-hmm. So
that's a different kind of training. You're doing more than just the.
You think about it. You've got a 45 minute running clock in each half for a soccer game, right? So it doesn't stop. There's not a lot of breaks like for injuries or subs. They don't stop the clock, but they slow play.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a different.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about as much fan engagement because the engagement is the 45-minute product on the field, mm-hmm. and then you have that 15-minute halftime, and then same thing for the second half. So their shows, you know, weren't, I don't want to say not complicated, but they were front-loaded and back-loaded with not a whole lot in between. Mm-hmm. Whereas, as we know in the college world, there's a break every 40 seconds. Or in the NFL world, too, there's a break every 40 seconds, and you need to have something going on, especially when you go from the 40-second play clock break to a 2.5-minute TV timeout. So just that training was interesting in that it was not just me solely training them on the Daktronics software, which they were already used to because StubHub Center already used Daktronics products for soccer. So it wasn't so much of a show control and a player and a processor training as it was a training on this is how football works. So I brought forth knowledge from the Raiders, Bengals, Dolphins, and Patriots. And I was like, this is what teams I've previously worked with have done. This is, you know, what a rundown sheet looks like for the first quarter, second quarter, halftime, et cetera. You know, this is how they built out their content on their ribbons versus how they put it on their video boards. This is, you know, the fan cams they like to run in the first half versus the second half, or when their team's on offense versus defense. So it was it was a two-part training of this is how you use the updated software products, but this is also how you run a football show, which was kind of fun because, you know, you get to pull all of your knowledge because that also used my front end video knowledge because they were like, well, where do we put cameras? Because for soccer, you know, it's kind of like a high 50 in the middle of the field and that's really it.
Yeah, you got a wide range. You got to capture, right?
Yeah.
Right. So for football, it was like, yeah, cameras are going to work best probably at these, you know, 7 to 10 locations. And so then it was training their camera operators. This is how you shoot football versus that super wide shot you guys are used to for soccer. So that was a very different / challenging project, but one I still enjoyed because even though I was there for football, I'm a big soccer fan. So it was nice to talk soccer as well.
There you go. Nice. So did you have to, I know you helped them training on a variety of levels compared to normal. Did you stick around to make sure that the first couple games went smoothly or kind of how did it go? Like, they got a couple games they caught on. Now they kind of understand the concepts and kind of what that learning curve was like.
Yeah. So I did the, I want to say it was about 4 or 5 days of training. And then I came back a couple weeks later and I worked the first two preseason football games to kind of just make sure everything went well, answer any questions or concerns. You know, after the games we had post-production meetings. So the producer for the shows, this is what went well. This is what didn't go well. What do we want to change for the next game? Then we implemented those changes for the second preseason game. That game actually ended up going really well. And I never got a call back for the rest of the season. So my assumption is that everything went as everyone expected.
The no news is good news kind of approach?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's cool. So you had those kind of quick stops. And then I know just because we've talked before the recording here today, but you had another NFL site you helped out with that same summer, right?
Yeah, that same summer also did the Atlanta Falcons, which at the time, I don't know if they still are, the Halo was the largest video board in the world.
At the time of installation, yes, that's correct.
Yeah.
Thanks, Justin.
So yeah, the Atlanta Falcons was the other football project I did that summer. And that was really interesting. It was very much a collaborative effort in that the Halo and what we call the Mega Column. So they have a big 100-foot column that's wrapped in LED out in one of the end zones. Mm-hmm. So that is our physical, Daktronics' physical displays and video processors. But then the engine that's pushing the content is Ross Expression. And then all of the ribbons, and there's three tiers. So there's ribbons on the field level, the 200 level, the 300 level. And then they have a triangular shaped display that's out in one of the end zones next to the column. So those are all driven by Daktronics. So that was one of those sites where kind of the integration part of our title came into effect, where it was we had to get Ross and we had to get Daktronics working together to make sure all of the content, you know, executed at the same time, looked the same color scale wise across the video boards. Timing was down correctly. You know, if we were pulling the same stats in different locations, did our stats match up? You know, making sure one computer wasn't 5 or 10 seconds ahead of another. So that was a very challenging part of that aspect of that show, was working so closely with another team and another trainer to get our two products to work and talk to each other at the same time.
Was it different working on a new construction site versus previously existing stadiums, or did that new construction make a difference at all for you?
Not really. My first experience working on a new construction site was actually at the Dolphins, because at the time Hard Rock Stadium was undergoing a massive refurbishment so that they would be able to host Super Bowl 54.
Okay.
So they were putting in those overhangs over the seats, so that fans were covered, because I think that's the rule requirement for the Super Bowls now. So the only big difference with construction sites generally is just how do you get into the stadium. You have to wear, you know, the personal protection equipment. But other than that, the control rooms were already completely built by the time I got to site.
Okay.
So it wasn't like I was sitting on a turned over bucket with like plywood holding up our computers. It was a fully built control room.
as fun as that might sound, you're probably happy it was fully built.
Yeah, there have been some sites where the control room wasn't in place yet. And so our rack was kind of just in a random closet, and there was no table or desk or any chairs for training. So we've had to get really creative and find things to prop computers on. But if I recall correctly, I mean, the control room wasn't 100% done, but it was enough done to a capacity where we could do a functional training and it wasn't complicated.
Okay. And did you pull on experience of working at a football/soccer venue for this installation as well, since it's the Atlanta Falcons and Atlanta United?
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Kind of. The crew that was working for Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they knew exactly what they wanted for both the Falcons show and for the United show.
Okay.
So they really didn't need a lot of input from me in terms of creative side. It was more just implementation. How do we get these shows built? And they don't change the look really between the United and the Falcons. So the ribbons use the exact same zones. The column uses the same zones. The triangle wall does, and same with the halo. So like the layout of the shows are the same. The only difference is what stats you're showing, and then obviously the backgrounds and logos and stuff.
Yeah, I thought that was a really good question, Justin. Turns out it was just a mediocre one. But
oh, thanks.
So I mean, we're talking today about NFL projects, right? So it's you. It could be a whole another podcast episode. Even you do more than just NFL events, but kind of try and think of going through, and then I would say wrapping it up, but. Kind of one of the last projects you worked on, I think, is also kind of key, right? Because I think this has kind of played a big role in your fandom in the NFL.
I would say so. So I'm a diehard Bulldog. Obviously, college football is my passion. I love the Dogs. So I didn't really ever get into the NFL. I liked watching the NFL games, but I wouldn't say I had a team that I was just crazy about. There was a time there where I liked the Broncos, but that kind of like for them waned a little bit. But then in 2019, the summer of 2019, I actually ended up working for the Kansas City Chiefs. And that project pretty much made me a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. They are, the organization is great. I had a blast working with that staff, specifically with Brad Young. He's really fun to work with. He keeps the control room really light and fun. He also knows exactly what he wants, and he'll tell you what he wants, which is good. You know, you don't want a wishy-washy director. But yeah, that project was really special. It was a control upgrade, so we were replacing all of their players and processors on a lot of their existing displays, and then we installed a brand new video board in the West End Zone. But what made that project really special is it was a year-long contract for me to work every home game. So I worked all of the preseason games, and then I worked all of the home games for the regular season with the exception of one. And then the Chiefs, as we all know, ended up making the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And so I worked the divisional game and then the AFC Championship, which they ended up winning, which that was an incredible experience in and of itself because I think the Chiefs Stadium is the loudest stadium in the world. I think they've been recorded as such, or at least they tout themselves that way.
Sounds familiar.
I remember there's like a back and forth for a while. Yeah.
So let's just say that when they won the AFC Championship game, I'm glad I was in the press box because it was incredibly loud. It was also minus 12 degrees. Another reason I was glad I was in the press box.
Nice.
But those fans are the craziest fans I've ever seen, and they love their team. And their passion kind of like bleeds off into other people because it's fun to watch people care so much.
Yeah, that's awesome. And maybe this is where I was getting ahead of myself. I asked if you knew where you'd be working in the future because they're still in the playoffs. I didn't know if you would be helping out with any of the playoff games going on this year at all.
I am. I did just work the divisional game that we had last Sunday against the Browns, which was tense to say the least.
Right.
We did not have any issues or any problems. The game was great from a Daktronics perspective, maybe not from a Chiefs perspective, although they won. But I will also be working the upcoming AFC Championship game this Sunday against the Buffalo Bills. So that should be fun. But last season culminated in me getting to go back to Hard Rock Stadium working Super Bowl 54 with the Dolphins crew.
Nice.
Because that's typically what we like to do at Daktronics is if you have previously worked at a site and then they have a special event come up, generally we like to bring in the same trainer for that project just because you're familiar with the site, you're generally familiar with the crew and you're comfortable there and you can help answer questions quickly. But because I had become a Chiefs fan throughout the season, I was really excited to be working the Super Bowl. I know there's no cheering in the press box, but I very much was cheering in the press box. And when they ended up winning, I was pretty excited.
Understandably so, yeah.
And I had kind of made the Dolphins crew root for the Chiefs by kind of spreading my love for them because I have a really good relationship with the Dolphins crew, just like the Chiefs crew. Mm-hmm. So they were happy to pull for the Chiefs for me. So yeah, that was an awesome experience. And after the game, after the teams cleared off, they let all of the production team come down onto the field. So we got to to share in the celebrations and in the confetti and walk around on the field and take pictures and go up on the stage. And so that was just,
wow.
Yeah, that's awesome. That was
the culmination of a long year and a hard year, but it was just the best payoff.
So this whole thing, right? This is an origin story, Justin. She started as a student at UGA as a button pusher, and then all of a sudden is on stage celebrating the confetti of a Super Bowl winning team.
Like, mm-hmm.
That's a good story, from beginning to, I mean, it's not the end yet, but I just mean like, that's quite the range of experiences that you've come through.
You take that snapshot in time. That's a good story.
Oh my gosh.
I love telling that story to anybody who wants to listen. Cause I'm now fully on board with the Chiefs. I love them. I'm rooting for them in every aspect, but yeah, as just a fan in general, Super Bowl was a bucket list item. Mm-hmm. For my life well before this, as were a couple of other things that I've gotten to do through Daktronics. So like I will never take for granted some of the experiences I've gotten to have through this job. And that for sure is one that I'll always have.
That's awesome. And even thinking you said Hard Rock Stadium about how it all came back around is even you were there recently to help all the college football playoff championships.
Yep. I was there 2 weeks ago for the Alabama-Ohio State National Championship. So came back about 3 days beforehand to help load content, help script out, build the show, and then got to work the college national championship, which was, as a college football fanatic, the best thing.
Another bucket list item checked off there.
Yeah, you've reached the top of both, right? The national championship.
Absolutely. It very much was. This year, I guess you could say, if you take from this particular day and go back a full year, has been really awesome for me in terms of bucket list items. Because if you step away from the NFL for a second, college football national championship, I also got to had the opportunity to work the World Series and the National League Championship games at the Texas Rangers ballpark.
Right.
And then again, the AFC championship, the college football national championship, and the Super Bowl all in the calendar year.
Wow. Jeez. That's amazing.
So I got really, really lucky. I know 2020 was pretty terrible, but as a sports fan, I got really lucky.
Yeah, no kidding.
Always about shining the positive lights on what happened last year. So it's great to hear that you have some positive experiences to reflect on.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think we're kind of coming around here is that, you know, you've had a lot of different experiences, Ashley, and you have a breadth of knowledge is even an understatement probably, mm-hmm. but the last point we want to touch on today, I think, was about the NFL user group coming up. It's usually an event that we hold, which we like to hold in person, right? In previous years, mm-hmm. pre-COVID, going to be virtual this year, but maybe give us a little bit of, have you been to one in the past? And then when is it happening again coming up this year?
Yes, I was previously a part of the team that helped put on the 2017 user group. And like you said, we do typically like to hold that in person, and we do it once every 2 years. So we bring in any NFL team that has the availability, I guess, to come in and visit with us. And we go through, you know, what's new with Daktronics. We go over our new data products. We go over any new software lines that we're bringing in. This year specifically, we're going to emphasize broadcast graphics with our Camino system. Mm-hmm. And I think we're also going to emphasize Data Studio and things like that. So we like to really hit on our new products. And when it comes to our existing products, we like to emphasize the new features and the new improvements that we've brought to the system. We also like to hold roundtable discussions. So we bring in a couple of topics that we've thought of throughout the year. And we bring those topics to the teams and then we have a discussion with them. Because we have found to be the most beneficial is that when teams get in a room with each other and they just start bouncing ideas off of each other, it usually leads to improvements for us because we understand from the customer perspective what they need to make their show more successful. So unfortunately, this year it's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be virtual. It is going to be held around the same time. So it's going to be happening February 22nd through the 26th, 2 hours for those 4 days from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it's going to be utilizing the new showroom that's in Brookings. So you will be able to see live demos. So you'll be able to see content going onto the boards and seeing the new data improvements we have and data elements and seeing those broadcast graphics. And we're still going to bring in, I think, the discussion forum. So we're going to have to get creative, I think, on how some of those things are going to get accomplished. But we're still going to try to hit the major topics.
Yeah, I think one of the things we always say when we talk about these user groups is that our customers are sharing ideas, and they also aren't necessarily competing for the same eyeballs in the same market, because they're not usually just across town. They're usually across the country type of thing, spread out. So they're sharing ideas to engage those fans and maximize the use of their system. And that's kind of why we hold these user groups. One is to obviously share new information about our technology, but another is so that they can share ideas to better themselves for the upcoming years.
Absolutely. It's really a collaborative effort. I mean, just from my experience 4 years ago, like listening to the teams talk to each other and bounce ideas off each other, there really is no competition when they get together, because they understand that any idea they may have will benefit the NFL structure as a whole. And that's good for everybody. So, you know, the more they can bounce ideas off of each other and help Daktronics learn, I think that's the whole reason we put it together, obviously to bring in the new products, but also to get better ideas for how we can improve their show experience.
And I'm thinking that's something that I realized, I can't pinpoint the year, but just because I've been a DAC probably way too long. not way too long. It's been 14 years this month.
14 years.
Wow.
I know. I shouldn't have said that. I was going through my head and I was debating.
The gray in your beard is showing.
But I was going to say is one of the things that caught me, I can't remember if it was the NFL one or a baseball user group, the MLB customers coming in, was just that, like you said, they like talking to each other and sharing ideas. But even though they may be rivals, like they don't care when they get in there. Like they're all friends and comrades. Like you mentioned, you're a big Chiefs fan. Well, someone from within division could be there, Broncos or someone else, and you can say you're like they're with the Chiefs, and they like there's no hard feel. Like they still get along. They still go out and have dinner that night. Like it was kind of those different things of a peek behind the sports production world curtain, kind of, right? Is that like you're saying they'd like to talk to each other, and they don't have the same like bitter feelings that you think two rival teams would actually have.
Well, the surprising thing is, I think, is that most of them are actually in contact with each other, or at least they all know of each other. So all the producers and directors for most of the productions, I don't know if they have a group chat, but it seems like they are in contact with each other throughout the season, just to, you know, kind of, have you heard of the latest product? Is there anything you're doing that's different that maybe we could try to implement? Because it, like you said, they're not competing for the same eyeballs. So there's not really a competition to one-up each other so much as it is to just kind of help each other. And a lot of them actually came up at the same time and or got their start in the college world. So they know each other from their college days, as I have come to find out.
Right. Ashley, we want to thank you for coming on today. You've shared a lot, and just hearing your stories and your history of everything is amazing. Yeah. And your past year has got to be like the top year of a lot of sports fans' lives, going to all those different events.
I'd say so.
But definitely thank you for coming on. And we will put a link in the show notes to the NFL user group information and the landing page that is coming up in February 22nd to 26th. So we will have that information there. And thank you very much for joining us.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Daktronics Experience Podcast. Please subscribe at your favorite place to listen to podcasts to keep up with our latest episodes.